And amen. All right. Well, we're starting into Sunday school. I'm a little done doing some teaching. We're going to get off into, hopefully in the next week or so, into some character studies and have enjoyed doing some Bible study that way. But I was kind of praying, asking the Lord last week if you were here. We went through the week from Palm Sunday down through the crucifixion and into the resurrection, showing that week and showing the things that happened during that week that transpired. Just for us Christians, it's good for us to reflect on that. I mean, it's good for us to go back and remember the great sacrifice that the Lord did for us. And so so Wednesday night, I believe it was on Wednesday night, Sister Janet had asked about some of the events or some of the things that took place, had some questions, and so they said, why don't we just touch on that again on Sunday morning. So we're going to do that this morning. I know there's some questions, and I had some other things. I went so fast last week, I thought, well, that's good. It's a good opportunity for us to kind of step back and look into some of this and really see the all of the events that led up to this day, right? What it all means and what transpired, what happened, and why on this day are we rejoicing so much. So we'll do that this morning. We're going to do that a little bit. So before we do, I had asked the church, I'd asked the Sunday school class that going forward, every Sunday, we're going to start doing some scripture memorization. Amen. It's good to memorize scripture. It's good for us to, we have the kids come up on Sunday afternoons, and the pastor has them come up and quote Bible verses, and they get excited about it, don't they? Amen. And that's the way we should be. Amen. We should be the same way about learning scripture, about memorizing, about hiding the word of God in our heart. So I challenged us to start learning some scripture starting in the book of 1 John. 1 John, I said, what we're going to do is we'll just memorize a verse each week and we'll come in. And hopefully, as we go through, we'll have memorized at least the first chapter, maybe a little bit more. But 1 John is a great book, so I wanted us to kind of see if anybody. So I said, I wanted us to memorize it, but I wouldn't call on anybody to, I won't single you out and say, hey, would you stand up and quote the Bible verse, but I want to give out folks the opportunity. If anybody has memorized 1 John chapter number 1 and verse 1 and wants to quote it, we'll just get started off. All right, Sister Debbie? All right. Okay, that's good. Yeah. Sister Sherry? All right, good. Amen. Anybody else? Want to quote it? It's not showing off time. It's just, it's just to it's enjoyable to be able to kind of talk about it. And anybody else want to take a stab at it and quote it? Anybody else? 1 John 1:1. So that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. What's that verse mean to you? Anybody? What's that mean to you? Does? That's right. How do we know that? How do you know that, Brother David? Because it's in the Bible? This is our first time at it, too, so that's good.
The word of life is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is described as a word.
Right.
That's one place. And it's what we're talking about, we see with our eyes. The apostles did see.
Right. That's exactly right. Amen. Anybody else? That's something the verse means to you? Because I thought it would be good for us to discuss it, kind of talk about them a little bit each week. What else does it say to some, Brother Jerry? Okay. That's good. It's kind of, I think that when the way it starts off is interesting. The way John chose to start this particular book, he chose a very interesting word, didn't he, to start it with? doesn't start it off with Christ. It doesn't start it off with Jesus. It doesn't start it off with the Bible. He says that. That which was from the beginning. Now, who's that? So who is that? So this that, if I can say it that way, this that was from the beginning. So we know. And he says, which, then he goes, which we have heard, and which we have looked upon, and which we have seen with our eyes, and our hands have handled. So you're right, it's exactly right. It's talking about, he's talking here about our Savior, and as we go through the scriptures, we're going to see. But I just thought it was interesting how he says that, and he's talking about the word of life, he's talking about the word of God. Right. Exactly right. Exactly. Amen. It's good because the Bible tells us, like Sister Day was just saying, that in the beginning was the Word. And here again, it's talking about, and it talks about the Word being Jesus, talks about also the Word of God. We have the Word of God. We have the Word of God in flesh, and we have the Word of God in print. Amen. I'm glad of that. I'm glad that I've got a Bible. And my, as Brother David and I were talking about earlier, the Bible. Amen. The Bible, it's in our language. I don't have to learn Hebrew. I don't have to learn Greek. God went to the trouble. God saw fit to translate it into our language. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. So that's good. That's a blessing. Glad you memorized those. And I continue with, so continue on with number two next week, verse number two, and we'll memorize that. And as you memorize them, don't forget the ones you memorized before. And you know what you'll find is, in a few weeks, you'll have the whole First John, whole first chapter of First John memorized, and it'll be a blessing to you. Amen. So that's good. Thanks for participating in that. Well, we had some questions were asked. So what I want to do is a couple things. I want to step back and take a look at some of the things we looked at last week, and then finish up where I wanted to get to last week, which I was kind of rushed. But at the same time, I know that there were some questions that folks wanted to ask, and other people may have had some questions. So what I'd like to do is kind of tack them both at the same time. So if you do have a question, go ahead and ask the questions now, and let me kind of see if we get to them. Yeah, Brother Jerry.
What I wanted was the exact timeline. You know, mm-hmm. I have trouble with the death being on Wednesday.
Okay.
And resurrection on Sunday.
Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah, I'll say, I was definitely wanting to look into that. We kind of went through fast on that last week and wanted to take a look at that again this week, too. Is there any other type of question anybody had that wanted to look into as we're going through it? Anything else? Okay. You know, and it's one of those things that today, to me, is the day to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. So as we look back at this, this is kind of a hard study. What we look at today is kind of a hard study to look at, and it's not like it's necessary to look at this, because by the end of the Sunday school class, we'll be at the part where we're rejoicing. Amen. We'll be at the part that's the great part. So let's take a look here. I kind of want to go back, and we'll go back to what I was talking about as far as the daily timeline, really up through. So you say, well, where does it come from about Wednesday? Well, there's a lot in here when you study through the Word of God, and you'll look, and it's talking about the Passover feast. And it's talking, and you have to understand there's two parts to it. There's the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of the Passover, and they go together. And so during this time, so we have a holiday, so to speak, that's listed on the calendar and celebrated called Good Friday, which is the Catholic holiday of the day they say that Christ was born, or Christ was crucified. Okay, so, you know, is the day really that important, Brother Jimmy? Is it really that important that you have to worry about that? And I say yes, and I say it for this reason. Because the Word of God is always true. Amen? Amen? Always. The Word of God is always right, no matter what I think, no matter what you think, no matter what the Catholic Church thinks. It doesn't matter. God's always right. God's always true. And so we saw the verse last week in Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 40, where Jesus said, as the Son of Man, as Jonas was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Now, we in this building, we in this church right now, we in this room are Bible believers, right? No doubt. We believe our Bible. We trust our Bible. We believe what our Savior said. We know that Jesus spoke in parables in times. We know that he spoke figuratively in times. But when he did, he told you that. But when Jesus Christ said the Son of Man would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, I believe that's what he meant. Amen? I believe he meant he would be there for 3 days and three nights. So that's why it's kind of important. Now, mathematically, you can't get to 3 days and three nights from Friday. No matter, even if you start at midnight, you can't get there. So that's what I'm saying. Why is it important? Because it's very important for us to realize that our Savior told us exactly. And you can back in and you can look at it. But on Tuesday, as we're going through, and you're looking at that, and you'll see that we talked about, and I'm looking at, I'm using the book of Mark. Because if you read Mark 11 through 16, he really brings in the whole picture of what happened from the day he came into Jerusalem until the day he rose from the grave. And he shows a great picture of that and really opens it up. So that's why I use the book of Mark. All the other gospels also go along with it, and you can see, and this one will put in different parts and different things that someone else didn't add in. And that's why I enjoy looking in the four gospels and studying the Word of God. Amen. Let's look at, and as we go through this, Brother Jeremy, I think it'll answer your question. And I think you'll see at least what I believe to be true. Amen. That's what I think. We'll see how it goes. But as we go through the book of Mark, you see when Jesus Christ comes into the temple he goes in on Monday, then on Tuesday he's back in there. The Pharisees come and they try to trip him up. Remember that we talked about that last week. Over in Mark chapter number 12, you'll see as they came and they tried to trip him up with the question about the tribute money, of whether or not we should pay taxes to Caesar, in 12, around verse 13 through 17. And then you'll see they came to him and tried to trip him up about the resurrection, asked him about the resurrection and tried to trip him up on that from verses 18 through 27 in the book of Mark. And that didn't work. Then they kind of asked him about, well, what's the greatest commandment? What's the first and greatest commandment of all? And he tells them exactly what they didn't want to hear, and that was in verse 30, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. Amen? Doesn't the Bible say that no greater friend hath, you know the verse, no greater love hath any man that he lay down his life for his friend? Jesus Christ showed these verses. He showed that they are the most important. He laid down his life, even for those who were trying to trip him up. Amen. Even for those who crucified him and hung him on a cross. He still gave his life for them, didn't he? Amen. He gave his life for somebody like me. Amen. I know me. I know where I was 24 years ago. I know what God brought me out of. Amen. I know what God saved me from. And he died for somebody like me, died for somebody like you. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Because he loves us. They try to trip him up with about the Ten Commandments, and Jesus kind of turns around on them and asks them a question, and they couldn't answer his question. It says that the common people heard him gladly. That's down in Mark chapter 12, like 35 through 40. And then the widow woman came in Mark chapter number 41, and you know that story, and she threw in her money, and Jesus was talking about her, and he taught about the giving and talked about she had given all of her living, casting everything she had and all of her living. That happened during this time when he was teaching in the temple. And then in chapter 13, it changes a little bit, and he takes his disciples. He's taught in the temple. The people have heard him. They've received him. And the Bible says the common people heard him gladly. And he takes his disciples and he leaves out and he goes and he pulls them aside. And that's what he starts. That's what he does in Mark chapter number 13. And all the way up to, all in chapter number 13, he's teaching his disciples. And they look at the temple and they say, look at all. They're in Jerusalem there and they're looking at this huge temple. And I can't even imagine what it must have looked like. I'm sure it was beautiful. I'm sure it was just ornate and something like we've never seen. I've never been there. But they're looking at it and they're making, what manner of stones and building are here? And Jesus said, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. He was prophesying. He was foretelling the destruction of the temple that would happen in A.D. 70 when Titus came in and destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. And there wasn't a stone that was left. He leveled it. Jesus Christ was talking about that. He was prophesying. He was telling them things that were going to come in the future. All this time when he's teaching, when he's talking to his disciples, he's telling them about what's going to happen in a couple of days, in a few days, and they don't understand it. They don't put it together until after his resurrection. So he's teaching his disciples, and then he goes into, in verse number 3, he starts talking to them and takes them out to the Mount of Olives and sits down and talks to them about the things that are going to happen in the future. If you go back and look in Matthew chapter number 24 and Matthew 25, you can see the things that he's talking about. And he's teaching them about the end times. He's teaching about the things that are going to come in the future. Now remember this. This is important. Many, many, many cults and false doctrines and false religions are based because people take the word of God out of context. Amen? So you have to be careful, as Christians, as Bible teachers, as Bible students, we have to be careful not to take the scriptures out of context and say, okay, well, that's for this day and age, because it's not always that way, amen? This book, the book of Matthew, was written to the Jews, right? Now, it's applicable to us, but it was written to the Jews. What do the Jews require? A sign. Genealogists, right? And they require a sign. That's the way they've always been. That's the way God deals with them. That's the way when they were writing the books, Jesus was talking to them. He would tell them, beware of the signs and look for these things, because the Jews always needed a sign. So he was talking to his disciples and telling them about the things that were going to come. And in the book of Matthew, he talks about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a literal physical kingdom that will be on this earth one day, but it's not here yet, right? We're not there yet. You cannot take Matthew chapter 25 and Matthew chapter 24 and apply it to the church age. It will not work. If you look at it and study it, you'll see I'm right. You can't. If you do, you're going to be a Calvinist, or you're going to be a Campbellite, or you're going to be a Mormon, or you're going to be one of these others, a Jehovah's Witness, because that's what they've done with them. They've taken them out and they say you must, what do they say about salvation? What do the Pentecostals and some of them say about salvation? You have to what? Endure to the end, right? Works. You have to endure to the end. Where do they get that from? Matthew chapter 24. Why? Because Jesus said, those that endure to the end shall be saved. That's not today. Amen? That's not the church age. Do you endure to the end right now for salvation? Do we? Do we endure to the end to be saved? No. We trust the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So you say, why is that important, Brother Jimmy? Because you have to understand, when Jesus is teaching these things, he is telling us, and we're here, and 2,000 years later, we can read it, and we can know what's going to happen before the kingdom of heaven gets here. But this is not the kingdom of heaven. This is the kingdom of God. How do you know that? Because the Bible says, I didn't look up the verse, and I should have. The Bible says in one place, the kingdom of God is in you. That's us. That's salvation. That's Christian. That's the church age. We're part of the kingdom of God. Amen. So that's why it's so important as we study the word of God and we look at these things that we realize that Jesus Christ was showing his disciples. He's teaching them. He's getting them ready for him to be gone so that they can go and be disciples and reach the entire world. That's what he was going to do with them, right? They did. They reached out all over the world in their ministries. He's preparing them for it. All right, so Tuesday evening, they have the Passover supper. Talked about that last week. Jesus tells them, says, go and prepare the Passover. And get it prepared. And they went to the upper room, and you've seen the paintings, and you've seen all of the the things that happened there as they prepared the Passover and as Jesus is there. He talks to his disciples about Okay. So he talks to his disciples that they're going to deny him, that they're going to forsake him. He talks to them about, in the book, this is Mark chapter number 14, looking down in verses number 17 through 20. Talks about he's going to be betrayed. And they're asking him who it is. And then he institutes the Lord's Supper, which we're going to partake of here in a little bit. Why is that? Because this is where it was instituted, right here, right before his death. He institutes the Lord's Supper. Talks about his body that's broken. Talks about his blood that was shed. And later on in the other places it says, this do ye in remembrance of me. He doesn't say it here, but he says it in other places. He tells Peter that you're going to deny me. And or that he tells them all they're going to deny him and abandon him. And Peter's like, I would never do that, Lord. I'll go with you all the way to the death. And he meant it, right? I believe Peter meant that with all his sincerity. I believe Peter meant, Lord, I will go all the way to the death for you. I believe he meant that with all his heart. But Jesus knew. He said, Peter, before this day's over, before this night's over, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. He's just preparing his disciples here. So then the Bible says they sung a hymn. They went out into the Mount of Olives. And as they're going out, Jesus takes them out there. The battle of all ages is about to take place. Amen. The greatest battle that ever took place was starting right here in this garden. Jesus Christ knew what was about to happen. Was he God in the flesh? He was, wasn't he? He was God in the flesh, and that battle was about to take place. And he's praying, and he's asking the Lord, said, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, let it pass from me, and nevertheless, not my will but thine. Amen. John, flip with me, if you would, over to, let me find my reference here. Well, let's look. I want to look at some verses right here real quick because this is important. He tells them in Mark chapter number 14 and verse number 41. He says, he's telling his disciples, he's going back the third time. They can't even keep their eyes open. They're nodding off, kind of like some of you doing this morning, amen. And if I was sitting in that pew, that's probably what I'd be doing too. And I'm not faulting you because I do it. He says, take your rest. Then he says, it's enough. All in one breath. The hour's come. That's an important four words right there, amen. The hour is come. Look with me, if you would, over in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. I do want to look at these verses before we move in. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 22. When Peter's preaching this first message here to the Jews after the resurrection and after the Pentecost, he's preaching his first message. Verse 22, he says what? Ye men of Israel. Now, I'm going to tell you something real quick, and I'm going to jump off of this. That's very important. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 38 is a verse. We're not going to get into that this morning. It's a verse that many, many religions take and use to show that you need to have your, you had to be baptized to have your sins washed away. Okay? Acts 2:38, where he says, be baptized for the remission of your sins. False doctrines, false, right? So, but in 22, Peter tells you who he's talking to. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the men of Israel, lost Jews that were standing there. That's who the audience was. So Acts 2:38 is not to the church. Acts 2:38 was to the Jews who require what? A sign. That's important, folks. Remember that next time somebody asks you about it. Take them back and show them who Peter was preaching to. He's preaching to Jews. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, right in front of you, he's saying, as ye yourselves also know, him, talk about Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. One more. So remember that. Determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Go to the book of Revelation with me real quick. Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse number 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of who? Of the Lamb slain from what? From the foundation of the world. Before this world was ever put into space, before God ever created this planet, in the foreknowledge and the determined counsel of God, it was already determined that Jesus Christ would die and pay the price for your sins and for my sins. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
And Jesus says to his disciples, the hour is come. So you can always believe what God says is going to happen. It's always, always, always going to happen. Amen? That's why it's so important to understand these scriptures and realize what was taking place. And so Jesus said the hour is come. John chapter number 12. I'll show you this and then we're going to move on real quick. John chapter number 12. John chapter 12, verse 27. It says here, now, this is Jesus speaking. This is while he's in Jerusalem, the last days, he's saying, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But look what he says. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. He says, Lord, he's relinquishing everything to the Lord right here. Everything to God. Jesus Christ is saying, I surrender. We sing that song, I surrender all. Next time you hear that, think about this. When Jesus Christ surrendered everything, he said, God, he said, I'm troubled. We know he went to the garden. He's praying. He's agonizing. The devil's, all of hell is coming, is assailing our Savior right there in that Garden of Eden, and that Mount of Olives, in that Garden of Gethsemane. And he relinquishes everything to God and says, Father, glorify. This is before that. But he says, Father, glorify that name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. God answered audibly from heaven his son on this earth. People thought it thundered. What does it say? The people therefore stood by, thought, heard it, said it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Amen and hallelujah. Amen. That's what excites me. His day is done. Amen. He's finished. And I love this part. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And he was lifted up from this earth, and he has, and he will draw anyone that'll come to him. Amen? Yes, the crucifixion is sad. Yes, the crucifixion breaks my heart. Yes, it was my sins that put him there. But Brother Jerry, I'm sure glad he went. Amen? So let's get to the day. Let's finish this up. So, that night, so we know what happens. They come into the garden right after this. So Tuesday evening, they come in the book. We're back in the book of Mark again. They come in. They arrest him in chapter number 14. Let me see where we're at here. Mark 14. Yeah, 14 and 43, they arrest Jesus Christ. They come and take him. Peter takes his sword. I'm going faster than this. Peter takes his sword and cuts off Malchus's ear to try and protect Jesus so they can't take him away. And Jesus just reaches down and just picks it up and just puts it back on. And just I love that part because he just kind of moves on. It's not like a big deal. It doesn't matter. I mean, do you realize he took the ear off the ground and put it on his head and healed it? You know, Sister Mary, I'd take out a 2-page article if that was me, if I'd done that, wouldn't you? Jesus just kind of wrote 6 verses about it and went on about his business. Hey, man, I like that. That's just a blessing. But Peter cuts off his ear. They take him. So now, overnight. Why did it happen overnight? Why does it happen in the middle of the night? Because the Bible says men love darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. That's right. They took him in the middle of the night. Tuesday night, middle of the night. Over early, and maybe Wednesday morning, but midnight, sometime in that frame, and they have a mock trial for our Savior. They can't even get 2 witnesses that agree. If you read the story, you'll find that couldn't even get 2 witnesses to agree, so they make up something about him, and they just accuse him of saying he was going to tear the temple down and rebuild it in 3 days. High priest asked him, said, "Art thou the Son of God?" And he looks at him and he says, "I am." And that was all that high priest needed to hear. When he said those 2 words, "I am," he was taking on the deity of God. He was taking himself on as God. Ripped his robe, stood up off of that thing and said, "Why? We don't need to hear anything else. That's all we need to hear." Now the problem was it was true. Amen. He was the Son of God. So they take him out. They deliver him. So then in chapter 15, we're down to 15 now. It says straightway in the morning. This is Wednesday morning. Straightway in the morning, they take him over to Pilate. And Pilate questions him, and he can't get any answers out of him, and Pilate can't find anything wrong with him as much as he tries. So we find out in the book of, then over in the book of Luke, we won't flip there, but over in the book of Luke 23, he's the only one that mentions this, but Pilate sends him to Herod. Interesting that Luke was the only one that brought this out, but Pilate sends him to Herod because Pilate can't find anything wrong with him, and he knows he's got a mess on his hands, right? So he sends him over to Herod and says, "I'm hoping, you know, he's in your jurisdiction. You take care of it." And Herod can't find anything wrong with him, and they can't find anything. They can't find any fault with our Savior, and even to the point where Pilate and Herod, the Bible tells us, become friends from this. And Herod just sends him right back over to Pilate. Says, "There's nothing I can do with him." Sends him back over there. And so you know what happens that morning. Herod, the tradition was they bring someone up and they release a prisoner. Pilate brings out Barabbas. Pilate brings out Christ. Says, "Which one of these men do you want me to release?" They said, "Give us Barabbas." And he says, "What then?" Okay, so then it says in Mark chapter 15, verse 12, Pilate answered and said unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out, "Crucify him." And Pilate said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. It was determined already that Jesus Christ was going to go to the cross. It was determined way back before the foundation of this world. No matter what had happened, Jesus Christ was still going to go to the cross. But God works these things in history. He used this per time. The Jews cried out and said, "Give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. Crucify Christ, crucify Christ." Remember, Sunday, Palm Sunday, 3 days before, they're singing his praises, aren't they? Bringing him in and singing his praises. Now, Wednesday morning, this happened all between about 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock in the morning. He goes before Pilate, goes to Herod, comes back to Pilate. Pilate releases Barabbas, sends Jesus Christ to be beaten. He's hoping that he would die at the whipping post. Right? That's what he was hoping. He was hoping that he'd be scourged, he would die, and that would be the end of it. But guess what? He wasn't going to die. He never was. It wasn't foretold that he would die at the whipping post, was it? He had to go to the cross. He had to go all the way to the cross. It was so bad that he couldn't carry his own cross. Or look at how you want. I've heard all kinds of different things. Whether they compelled Simon to carry his cross because he couldn't carry it, I don't know. I know that he was beaten beyond recognition. I know that much. The Bible says in the book of Mark that in the 3rd hour, let's see where we're at now. So Mark chapter number 15, verse number 25, and it was the 3rd hour, and they crucified him. 3rd hour. So this is Brother Jerry where we get into this part. The Jews' day. The Jews start their day 6 p.m. in the evening and go till 6 p.m. the next evening. So we do, our day is like a midnight. We have a morning, then we have an evening. The Jews start in the evening time, go from 6 to 6. That's the evening. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's the morning, the evening, and the morning. That's the way the Jews' day is set up. So they begin their days at 6 p.m. and it goes overnight. So the third hour now, but then, so there's an evening hour and there's a morning hour. So now when it says the third hour, it's not talking about 9 p.m. It's talking about that third hour of the morning. It starts at 6 a.m. So this is about 9 a.m. The third hour. I'm sorry. Yeah, the third hour. 6 o'clock a.m. being the first hour. So about 9 o'clock in the morning, being the third hour, they crucify our Savior. He's on that cross for 3 hours. The Bible says in, get here, verse 33 of this same chapter. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Sixth hour would have been noon. Ninth hour would have been 3, right? From noon until 3 in the afternoon, God puts darkness over the entire earth. I believe what God says, I believe it was the entire earth. Amen? You understand that God in the flesh is hanging naked on a cross, bearing the sins of the world, and God says, I'm not going to allow you to look upon it. And he darkened out, or they could not look upon our Savior on that cross. And that ninth hour, I believe it was dark, dark. Amen? It wasn't like here where there's some street lights. I believe it was dark, dark. And Jesus Christ is on that cross. And after 3 hours of that darkness, even though he knows what's happening, he cries out, Eloi, Eloi, sabachthani, how you pronounce it? Lama, sabachthani, hey, that's good enough. Amen? He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? 3 hours of that darkness, 3 hours of all that, taking on the battle of all ages, amen, had taken place right there. And he felt, and God himself, the Trinity, the Holy Trinity had been separated. And the only time in history, only time in the history of this universe that the Trinity was separated was at Calvary. And he said, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he became your sin and he became my sin on that cross. Amen? Took it upon himself. Sin cannot be in the presence of God, right? Jesus Christ took on the flesh. He felt that when that bond, and I don't understand it all. I'm not trying to get into it theologically or whatever, but he felt that separation from his Father, which he'd never felt before. And he said, why has that forsaken me? So that's a dark time. I know this is Easter Sunday, and this is a dark thing. But understand that ninth hour, Jesus Christ. One of the Gospels, only one, it's interesting to me, that only John mentions this. All the other ones say after he did that, he cried out with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. But John tells us exactly what he said. And I'm glad John went to the trial. I'm glad John put it down. Amen? Because John is the only one that recorded it. But John said he cried what? What did Jesus cry? It is finished. Woo! Amen. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Amen? That's the best. Hey, this is where, as bad as it is, as much as it breaks our heart, what we caused our Savior, he finished it. Amen? It was done. And the battle of all ages was over and the devil lost. Amen. And hallelujah. And God won. Just as he'd said before the foundation of this world, it would take place. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, our Savior gave up the ghost. You say, why is that important, Brother Jim? Let me get there. I'll finish up here, okay? So, between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock, Joseph of Arimathea goes and he asks Pilate for the body of Jesus Christ. And they come and they take him off of the cross. And you know what happens during that time? They're going by, they're checking them to make sure that they had that they were dead. And they go by and they break the legs of the prisoners to make sure they were dead. The guard walks up to Jesus and they see you hanging there and they notice that he's dead And so he doesn't break his legs. And another soldier takes his spear, punctures it into his side, and pulls it out. And the Bible says, out flowed water and blood and water. Amen. That was the birth of the church. Amen. That was the birth of the New Testament church. Because you got to have blood and you got to have water for a birth. Amen. That's when it started, folks, for us. Thank the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's whew. They pull his body off of that cross, and by 6 o'clock they have him in the grave. Okay, now let me get there. So why is that important? Go to John chapter number 19. I'm going to tie it all together for you right here, Brother Jerry, okay, hopefully. And for me too. And if not, hey, you know what? I still think it's a blessing. Amen. It is. It's good. Isn't this a blessing? Amen. I know it's hard, but it's a blessing when we realize as Christians, man, this day today is the greatest day for us as Christians. I love it. All right, so John, I'm in the book of Luke. No wonder it doesn't read right. John chapter number 19. I'm glad we got to go a little bit slower today. John chapter number 19, verse 31. It says something interesting here, that God took the trouble. God took the trouble to, the Holy Spirit of God made sure that John wrote this. It's very important. He says, in John chapter number 19 and verse number 31, says, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation. Remember, they're still in the Passover, okay? Remember that. This is still the Passover time. Because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Sabbath day. That is where the Friday comes from in the Catholic religion, okay? Because they read Sabbath day. That's Saturday, right? Right? So they think, okay, so it had to be Friday because the next day is the Sabbath day. But God, in all of his wisdom and all of his foreknowledge, knew that this would take place. He had something put in parentheses of all that the translators put in parentheses to let you know that this is to emphasize what was just said. And look what he says. He says, for that Sabbath day was a what? A high day. It was a special Sabbath day during the Passover feast. Is that important, Brother Jimmy? Yes, it's important. Because it's not, it shows you that. That's why what I'm telling us, I believe with all my heart, makes sense. Why was it Wednesday? Because Jesus said, I'm going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, and then I'm going to rise from the grave. So Wednesday, they had to have him in the grave. Their day starts at what time in the evening? Six. He had to be in the grave by 6 o'clock that night, the day before the high special Sabbath, which I believe was Thursday. So by 6 o'clock Wednesday night, our Savior was off of the cross and in the tomb. And the battle was over. Amen. The devil still, I believe, still checking every day with death. And you still got him? You still got him? Death's like, I've never missed one yet. I still got him. He's like, well, you know, you remember what happened to that? You know, every one of them that ever had died before, even if Jesus rose from the dead, they went back. Death got him again. Amen. He's like, you still got him? You know, he said he's going to raise in 3 days. Death said, I still got him. Amen. But look. Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. So 3 days, three nights. Let's count them. So 3 days. So it starts on Wednesday. So that will be Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You with me so far? Three nights. What's three nights? Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. So now that takes us from Friday night, Saturday. What time does the Jews' day start? 6 p.m.? I believe with all my heart, sometime after 6 p.m. Saturday night, don't know what time, God didn't tell us, sometime after 6 p.m. on Saturday night, Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And I believe that. I believe that's what the Bible teaches us. 3 days, three nights. It doesn't mean he had to rise. It doesn't mean he rose 30 minutes before Mary came on Easter morning. We don't know when it happened. But I know it happened sometime overnight before they came to that tomb. Our Savior came up out of that grave. Amen. So is it important, Brother Jimmy, to worry about that? Yes, it is, because God already told us. God's never wrong. Amen? And it's not, and so what I that's what I get from it is just that it shows us that God took the trouble even to tell us that that Sabbath day was a special Sabbath day. It wasn't the normal Sabbath day. Why did he even put that in there? If he didn't know 2,000 years later it was going to be something that we had to talk about. Amen? God knows what he's doing. Amen? I like that. So Our Savior came up from the grave. Amen. Pastor got on it this morning. Man, I loved it. I was glad he hit it because I was going to talk about it this morning, but he's already done it about Mary Magdalene. Man, I love that thought. Do you think Jesus Christ loves you personally? I mean, do you really, no, do you, we say that, but do you really believe that Jesus Christ loves you individually, you personally? Man, did you see what he did for Mary? Wow. He held off. Now, go to the book of Hebrews today sometime, if you want to, or sometime, and read Hebrews 9, 11, all the way through like 10, 23, and you'll see all about that blood and how Jesus Christ had to offer himself before God. How he had to take that blood to heaven, how it had to be applied just because he was the high priest of the new covenant. Blood had to be sprinkled on the mercy seat in the Old Testament. Blood had to be sprinkled, I believe, on the mercy seat in heaven by Jesus Christ. I believe that. Amen? Had to take place before he ever did that. And the Bible says, let me finish with this. I love this part. I'm just going to read it to you real quick. You don't have to flip with me. In Hebrews 10. All right, he says, but this man, talking about Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You know why he sat down? Because his work was finished. Amen? Worked out in the yard yesterday, and I got kind of tired. You know what I did yesterday afternoon, yesterday evening? I sat down, and I rested because I was tired. Our Savior. But he waited. He waited sometime after he came out of that tomb. That stone was rolled back so that we could see in, not so he could get out. Amen. He didn't roll that stone out so he could get out of that grave. He rolled that stone away so we could see in the grave, like Pastor was talking about this morning. Amen. And it was empty. And Mary, and I love what Pastor said this morning. And before he ever took that blood to, before he ever finished your salvation and my salvation, which had to be done, before he ever finished our salvation, he waited for one person because he knew she needed comforting. Man, that's a blessing. I like that. And like Pastor said this morning, as soon as she heard his voice, she knew who that was. Amen. That's the way we are, isn't it? When we hear his voice, we know who it is. And so, when after he had finished it, after he had presented himself before God, read that in the book of Hebrews because I didn't get to it and I wanted to. You ought to read that. Hebrews 9, Hebrews 10. The Bible says he sat down on the right hand of God. Because just like he said, it was finished. Amen. So that's where the timeline comes from and that's where I believe. And so as we're looking through that, so every year during this time, I take a look and I remember all of that. That happened. And the Bible says there in the book of Hebrews, let me do finish with that because that's important. I want to finish right here. In that Hebrews chapter 10, because of all of this, and because of everything we've talked about, and because we are followers of Christ and because we are Christians, Hebrews chapter 10, he said, let us, in verse 22 of chapter 10, it said, let us draw near. Because of all this that's happened, because of the resurrection, because of our salvation is complete, because Jesus Christ paid our price, because Jesus Christ paid the sin debt that we cannot pay, that we had no, that we could do nothing about, and he did it for us. Amen? Because of that, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. That's the word of God. Amen. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. That's where we get our boldness from. Amen. That's where we as Christians, that's where we as even Baptists, yes, even Baptists, that's where we get our stand from. He says, hold fast that profession of faith without wavering. Know you're right because you're on the right side. Amen. We know we're on the right side. We know we have chosen the right path. We know we've chosen the right way, and so we just have to hold fast. Amen. So, yeah, it's kind of a hard thing to study, but I'm glad it finishes up good. Amen. I'm glad. It's always a blessing to do that, and I hope that that's maybe cleared it. Did it help at all? Kind of cleared? You know, it's just it's one of those things that when you look at it and you realize, boy, I'm glad that our Savior went through all that for us. And then the end result is we're Christians, we're saved this morning. We're here in the house of God this morning with our faith strong and rejoicing. We'll be up here singing in a few minutes about our risen Savior. We'll be rejoicing about it because we're Christians. Amen. We know the great price that was paid. All right, good. Well, we'll stop right there, and we'll get into some other studies starting on next week. So let's have a word of prayer. Amen. All right, Brother Jerry, would you dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Father in heaven.